Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 119, stanzas 2 through 6. O thou, the God of all my strength, why hast thou cast me off? Why go I mourning all the day, while foes oppress and scoff? While foes oppress and scoff. 2 through 6 of Psalter 119.
Thank you. The portion to be read out of God's holy and precious word can be found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 22, the first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 22. To the chief musician upon Ageleth Shehar, a Psalm of David. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered, they trusted in thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round about. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me, they part my garments among them, and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him, and fear him, all ye the seed of Israel. For he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we are gathered before thy countenance in this afternoon hour in a special service that is commanded by thee, and that thy holy supper may be administered from time to time in the midst of thy church until thou dost come. And thou knowest the heart of each and every one of us and what we stand in need of in this hour, when a distinction must be made in the midst of the congregation that is not a perfect distinction, because a man can make mistakes. But thou dost make a distinction, and thou dost show that there is a church visible and that there is a church invisible, and that is now laid before us in a special and visible way in this afternoon hour. O Lord, could it please thee so to bless that in the midst of us as we are journeying to meet thee, each one of us coming together, Sabbath after Sabbath day, to thy house of prayer. But it does not guarantee that we will receive that treasure that cannot be compared to anything in this life. And when we come before thee in that judgment, O Lord, then we need to be born again. O, show it unto us in this hour. But wilt thou also bind it upon our hearts in this hour? And when it has never come into our heart before, and when we have known it with our mind and we have never felt it in our heart, all that there may be the love of thee poured out in our soul, that we may be born again with a holy jealousy for the blessed portion that thou givest unto thy people, and wilt thou give us to long after that portion, and that is that we also may be forgiven all of our iniquity and all of our sin, that we may be washed and cleansed therefrom and renewed into a new creature, and that we may be made holy, that we may be separated from sin, and that we may be made upright before thy holy countenance, that we may live before thee, and that we may die before thee, and that we and may be taken unto thee in that great eternity. O Lord, bind it upon us who cannot bind it upon ourselves, that we are so dependent in this hour once again and in a special way on thy Holy Spirit. Lord, could it please thee also to come with us and to sit with us and to work amongst us, that we may feel thy power on every side as thy servant did feel it, and when he went up into thy holy place, and that thou may remember each and every one of thy own people. Lord, thou knowest who they are, and they are but sinners in thy most holy sight, and they see it more and more. And because the way of sanctification that is leading more and more into the knowledge of self, and they must more and more abhor themselves in dust and in ashes before thee. O Lord, then what do they need? They need grace from thee. They need that it all comes from thy side, that it all would be forgiven, that it all would be cleansed,
and that it all be washed away, that their iniquities may be cast into that sea of everlasting forgetfulness. And Lord, they want to feel it. And they want to feel it, especially in this hour, in that hour. And that thou dost say, do this in remembrance of me. They are not strangers of those feelings. They are not strangers of that knowledge. They are not strangers of those affections and those desires and those longings. But they are also not strangers of the sloth and of leaving thee days without number and becoming a thousand times more unworthy even after received grace. Lord, could it please thee to open unto them once again that foundation of the salvation which thou hast wrought and which thou hast bought by thy dear Son for those who cannot exist in themselves. O Lord, could it please thee so to bless this holy supper? But there are also those who need instruction, those who indeed are not strangers thereof, but have so many fears, and who have never dared to approach unto thy holy table. And Lord, could it please thee that thou may bring them forth, those that are truly thine? Oh, that they may have no view of any man, but that they may be drawn by thy Holy Spirit, and that they may be given to partake of that which belongeth unto them, because thou givest it unto them, and not because they do deserve it. But, Lord, thou knowest all that lives within the questions. Oh, could it please thee to solve those riddles, even in this afternoon hour, and wilt thou make it plain with a little light of thy Holy Spirit, and to bring it with power in their hearts. Lord, remember us when we need to be corrected, for thou knowest all the hypocrisy that lives in the heart of a man, and then we can also be deceiving our own selves, and then the best correction is a new heart. And because then we shall see with eyes that we have never seen before. And then we shall see with the eyes of a Saul of Tarsus after that he was made blind. Oh Lord, and then if we are never made blind, we shall never have our eyes open. Oh, could it please thee to undeceive us then, if that is our case. And that thou would keep us on every side also from taking the bread of the children and from eating and drinking judgment unto ourselves. Make us honest, Lord. Make us upright before thee. And when we stand on the outside of all these things, O Lord, could it please thee in this hour to work with that charity, with that love, that is more than all the gifts that we can receive, even the gifts from thee. Oh, that love in our heart from thee, that love for thee, the love for thy dear house, for thy word, for thy testimonies, and especially for thy dear Son. Oh, come then, Lord. We have no power, and without thee we can do nothing. Oh, we beseech it then, from thee who alone hast all power given unto thee in heaven and in earth, and who alone can deliver us from ourselves and from sin and from the service of all this world, that thou may care for us and all those that are not able to be with us. Lord, thou knowest all of the sick and the afflicted. Then we lay before thee in a special way a former elder of the congregation who is not with us anymore, but who has received such serious tidings, Lord, that thou may remember him in thy mercy and that thou mayest supply for him for the body, but also for his soul in the time that is yet allotted unto him, and that thou mayest visit him and his wife and care for them together as a family in thy mercy. And the father, young father in Calgary also, and when he must receive surgery in the time to come, Lord, thou knowest the seriousness thereof, or that thou may be on his right and on his left hand also, and that thou may visit him with a little token of thy favor, and with that new birth that we cannot miss. Remember those that mourn, and the mother in our midst, who had to bring her dear son unto the grave in the week that is gone by. Oh, Lord, remember her, with her husband, with her other children, and that thou may care for them in the time to come when that missing will be felt more and more, and that thou may bring to thy footstool, and that thou may care for them all together in thy mercy, and could it please thee to work it for something that is good. Remember all that mourn, we lost also two uncles in New Jersey, also a brother-in-law. Lord, thou knowest also the cares that are over there. Remember all those and that have lost loved ones, and do teach us that our life is short, and that it is very uncertain, and that we may be given what is necessary to both live in comfort and to die in peace, thy servant. And did say, O Lord, what wait I for? And my hope is in thee. And deliver me from all my transgressions. And make me not the reproach of the foolish. Put away the devil and all with all his devices in this hour. And give us a good and quiet hour together with thee. And in thy favor and with thy blessing, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 362, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. From out the depths I cry, O Lord, to thee. Lord, hear my call. I love thee, Lord, for thou dost heed my plea, forgiving all. If thou shouldst mark our sins, who then could stand? But grace and mercy dwell at thy right hand. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 362. beloved congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon and this special service can be found in the Song of Solomon, in the 4th chapter, and thereof the 2nd verse. The Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep, and that are even shorn, and which came up from the washing, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. So far, the words of our text. It is Christ's commendation of the feeding of his bride. First, we see the object of her feeding. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn, which came up from the washing. The object of her feeding. And second, of the fruitfulness of her feeding, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. The fruitfulness of her feeding, Christ's commendation of the feeding of his bride, first the object, second the fruitfulness of her feeding. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep. What congregation are teeth for? They are for eating. Humans, animals, sheep, when they are feeding in the pastures, teeth, they are necessary for digestion. They're the first part of the digestion of food, that that food may be made nourishing, that it may be made fit for the strengthening of our bodies. And now the true church of God is given teeth to eat, to feed with. Teeth are not given to us immediately when we are born, are they, boys and girls? Your little brother or your little sister does not have any teeth yet. And that is so also in a spiritual way. And then the apostle says that it is appropriate when there is a newborn child in that kingdom of grace, that he is fed not with meat, but that he is fed with milk. And why is that? Because they do not yet have teeth, as it were. Later on, and the Lord gives them teeth. And when the Lord gives them teeth, that is because the food that he will have them to eat now changes. Thus the Lord gives them those teeth that they may be able to eat what the Lord has to give to them for the strength and the nourishing of their bodies as they are growing in grace. And now Christ takes notice here of the teeth. And he does not only take notice of them, but he also commends the teeth of his church in his eyes. Her teeth are a very, very beautiful thing. What does that mean? That means that he is pleased with her feeding, with her eating, as it were. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep. And sheep are clean animals, children. We read that in the Bible. And what is one of those characteristics that makes them a clean animal? One of them is that they chew the cud. That means they do not chew their food only once, but that they chew their food more than once. We do not do that with our natural food, but do you do that now with that word of God? Because David says, I will remember thee upon my bed. I will meditate upon thee in the night watches. Thus, that is a people that are given teeth, that are like a flock of sheep. That is, that they think, that they meditate upon that word of God, the preaching. And the Lord says that that is very pleasing unto him. Then he is commending them for their teeth. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. That means the one tooth is not longer than the other, like the teeth of a canine. But those teeth, they are all even shorn. What does that indicate? Well, if you will look into the teeth of an animal, then you will say, well, that animal eats a certain kind of food, and that other animal has different kinds of teeth, and he also eats a certain kind of food. And thus Solomon speaks here about the kind of food and that church is given to feed upon, that those teeth are even shorn. He says that church is not given the teeth that are like fangs of an animal, that are used to rip apart, that are used to tear apart flesh. David says, my soul is among lions. And he says, and that they have teeth like spears and like arrows. Do we have teeth as a spear? Do we have teeth as an arrow? Then if the Lord gives us true conversion, then he takes those teeth and he makes those teeth to be even shorn. It does not take away the character of a man. But it gives what the Lord gives in the heart of a man. Because the apostle says that also, that if we bite and devour one another, then we ought to take heed that we do not consume one another. And thus, the church is not made with sharp teeth, teeth that are even shorn. They are teeth, we say, of a grazer. That is what now the Lord makes his people. Saul of Tarsus was like a lion with canine teeth. And then the Lord took away those canine teeth and he made them even shorn. And then from a lion he made him into a lamb, a grazer. And then the Lord gives his people the food that he means for them to eat. What did they eat, boys and girls, when they were in the wilderness? The Lord gave them that food, and that food was manna. And the Lord provided that manna. And that manna was a type, it was a picture. The Lord says, I am the bread of life. And then he broke that bread. He broke that bread for his disciples to eat. He says, this is my body. He says, this is my flesh. And my flesh now is your meat. It is your food. It is your drink. Do we know what that is? Now to eat of this bread of life, to be fed this bread, and to feed upon this bread, because the Lord's Supper is not the first place where that church is eating of that bread, but that very eating itself is a mark of examination in preparation for the attendance of that Holy Supper. You say, how can I know that? How can I know if I have been fed such bread? How can I know if I have actually eaten as such bread, if I have fed upon it by faith? Actually, we ask you a question back then. We say, how is it possible that you do not know this? Is that possible? That someone would eat of that bread and that he did that without knowing that he did eat of that bread? Do we not know when we eat, especially when we are hungry? And then we know that we have eaten, we know that we have hungered. We knew of the lack, and then we also knew of the fulfillment of that lack, and that is now the same with this bread of life. All then you have felt that you could not live on carnal bread, that all that you could eat and drink in this life that could not sustain that life that is now living in your soul, that without another bread, without another eating, that you would have to die. Oh, then you know how that the Lord has revealed this bread to you, how that he has given to you that bread, how that you have seen it for the first time, how that you have seen that that is now the bread that is able to satisfy my soul, and that that is now alone the bread. And that the Lord has given you to taste something of that bread, that you may experience something of the fullness, that you say, I have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Do you think then a person will know nothing of that? That is not possible. Oh, we know that by the fruits, the Lord Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them, and that is the same for ourselves. You say then there is a fruit, there is something that I have felt, there is something that I have experienced in my heart. What do we experience then? Oh, we experience a great pleasantness, a very great pleasantness in our distress. And then we will feel something of the relief to have found and to have tasted that bread. Oh, we will have known something of the suitability of that bread, that it is just the bread that is fitting for me. Philpott says we need to speak in two words, sin and grace. And those things, they go together. When there is no felt sin, then there is no feeling of grace. But when that sin has become a burden to us, when that sin has become an impossible thing for us, oh, then grace is so exactly fitting. It is so exactly suitable to such a one as I am. Oh, that is a fruit. To experience something of the suitability just for such a one as I am. What else? Or it may be known by the satisfaction. The satisfaction in the eating of that bread. Because faith immediately perceives the fullness that there is in that sacrifice. The fullness that there is in that broken body and that poured out blood, the sufficiency that is in it, and that it is able to take away all of my sin, all that is tasted. And there is something of a rejoicing then in our heart. And now this feeding is very pleasant to the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Thus he says, I so delight that I may be the food and the drink of my people, that I may be the object of all their meditations, that I may be the object of their faith, the faith of a poor sinner who cannot sustain his own life, who cannot give unto himself life. And that without that food, such a man must die. Oh, that is a feeding that cannot cease. And why cannot not cease? It cannot cease because because of who they remain. What does Paul say? He says, the good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, that is why that supper, that holy supper that is the Lord Jesus says to be commemorated until I come, that is to the end of the world, time and time again. Oh, then it shows the necessity for that church of God, because they are laying there in their sin, and even with all the sanctification that the Lord gives unto them, oh, from their own side, then they say that it is nothing but sin, from the top of my head unto the bottom of my feet. And thus he desires to be that continual nourishment for a guilty soul. He desires that because he is glorified in it. He is glorified in that eating. His Father is glorified in that eating. And his Holy Spirit is glorified in that eating. And that is why he says, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Oh, what a beautiful sight. There's a flock of sheep that are even shorn. Who does that? Say, the shepherd does that. He shears his sheep. And that's when we see that flock of sheep that is even shorn, then we say that is a testimony to the skill and to the wisdom of the shepherd. That is not to the skill and the wisdom of the sheep, no. But the glory of that, that is for that shepherd. And yet the beauty is found in the sheep. Oh, that flock of sheep that is even shorn, is that not then a wonderful thing? The marks of his wisdom, the marks of his grace, they are then found within the sheep, and they are making that sheep to be beautiful in his sight. What do we read? We read, which came up from the washing. Oh, how beautiful are sheep that are even shorn and that do come up from the washing. What does that speak about? It speaks about cleanliness, because sheep can make themselves very, very filthy. But now that washing and that shearing of the sheep by the shepherd, and he is shearing away all that dirty fleece. And then underneath, then there is a beautiful white. There is a shining white. There is a clean, beautiful animal. Oh, that is the beauty that Christ sees in his sheep when he says, thy teeth are like a flock of sheep that are even shorn that come up from the washing. He speaks about that cleanliness, that purity, that is a consequence of that feeding. It has to do with those teeth. Thus, when she is feeding, and when she is feeding on him, by faith, oh, then she is made clean. When she may eat of him, when she may taste of him, and when that faith may receive him, oh, that is the manner in which the blessing is applied unto her. Thus the filthiest of those sheep, they are made clean, perfectly clean, by that feeding. Thus Christ, he says, behold, thou art fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. What a helpful food is Christ for his people. To a filthy sinner, to change their state, change their condition, to renew them, to make them white, to make them clean. But not only so, we see in our second thought the fruitfulness of this feeding. What do we read? We read, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. What does Paul write to Timothy? He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus is come into the world to save sinners, of whom, he says, I am chief. I am chief. So how did that come in Paul's life? It was not always in his life that he saw himself so. No, there was a time that he saw himself so very, very different. He was a Pharisee. Or he saw himself as clean. He looked down upon publicans. I am the chief, tell Paul that, before the Lord converted him. Then he would become angry with you. But how different that Paul was after that he was given to feed in such a way upon this food. Paul now esteems himself to be the greatest, to be the chief of sinners in this whole world. So we see the fruitfulness of feeding, the fruitfulness, as Christ is speaking here about these teeth, this eating of that food that the Lord is giving unto his people. That is not something that puffs them up, no. It is exactly the opposite. It is what makes a man to be the least. Then he says, if it is possible for me, then it is also possible for you. Oh, that is such a sight. That is such a genuine thing that the Lord gives in the heart of his people. That there is no one in the whole world, whatever that he has done in the world, whatever crimes he has committed in the world, oh, there is no one that has such a wicked heart as I have. Oh, that is fruitful. That is fruitful. And that humility itself is very fruitful for a man. And that humility is also very fruitful in the midst of the men in which that people may live. But now there is also a testimony. There is also a testimony in that people are called to make, and which we are called to make also in this hour. And also that testimony is fruitful. That is a testimony when they do appear in the midst of the congregation, before the congregation, at that holy supper of the Lord. And what do they then testify? They do not testify of their goodness. No, they testify exactly the opposite. Do you believe that, young people? And when they do come forward to this table, then they are not saying, I am a good man. No, they are saying just the opposite. They are saying with the Apostle Paul that there is no one here in this congregation, there is no one in the whole world that is so wretched in their heart, that is so sinful in his heart as I am. That is the testimony. And the testimony is also of the grace, of a grace that is as wide as the ocean, that is all flowing out of the blessed sacrifice of his dear son. Oh, that is a testimony and that does preach unto each and every one of us that there is such a way of salvation for those who have committed whatever sin that we have committed, and how hard that our heart is, and how wicked that our heart is. Oh, that there is a way open that we may be received in mercy by the blessed grace of God, whereof every one bear twins, and none is barren among them. Christ does declare now that that people, they are an influence. They are an influence in the midst of the world. They are an influence in the midst of the people among whom that they dwell. Oh, he says every one of them brings forth two more. Two more. The more that that people may eat, the more that faith may feed upon this food, the sacrifice of his dear son, in all their guilt and in all their corruption, the lower that that people come, the lower that they come to the ground, and the greater that that testimony is amongst all that dwell with them. And that is the reason that Christ, he is commending here, he is noticing here the beauty in the teeth of his people that may feed upon him in all their wretchedness and in all their poverty. Oh, there is no meat that is so profitable. You say, we have to eat this for our health. We have to eat that for our health. There is no meat, congregation, that is so profitable that a man can eat as this meat that is fed unto teeth that are even shorn, or in their meekness, in their unworthiness. Oh, how beautiful, how drawing were those words of Mephibosheth to a self-condemned sinner. Oh, he says, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am, and none is barren among them. That is not their testimony, no. They do not say that of themselves. They say, what fruit do I have? But that fruit that is all from him in me, he says, is thy fruit found. And he does see that fruit, and he knows better than that they know. Oh, the Lord who knows his sheep, bring them to his table. The Lord give his sheep a little there to eat, a little there to feed upon him, and give to them that bread of life. And the Lord also give that testimony, that testimony of who that they are, and that testimony of who that he is, and that it is so free, and that it is not bought by us, but that it is all given from him. Oh, may it be to bring forth a little fruit in the midst of us in this day. Amen. The form for the administration of the Lord's Supper will now be read to you.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them to the end, that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son Jesus Christ with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confined in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against the neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved, brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly. From the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness. Especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins. That he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God. Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally, confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood, the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you. That, whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you. And I certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same Spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth, and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body, through brotherly love, for Christ's sake. Our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts through the power of the Holy Ghost may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. That we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession and with our mouths and hearts saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, and where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of His heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost, and with His body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of Him. While the table is being prepared, let us sing from Psalter 426, stanzas 1 through 4 and 7. I love the Lord, the fount of life and grace. He hears my voice, my cry and supplication. Inclines His ear, gives strength and consolation. In life and death, my heart will seek His face. 1 through 4 and 7 of Psalter 426.
Thank you.
Beloved congregation, it is always a solemn moment. And when the call goes out to the visible church, and when that holy supper of the Lord is prepared in the midst of the church, and when we may hear the Lord calling those who he desires to commune with. Because we read that here in Song of Solomon, "Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair." And then it is his desire that he may commune with his own bride. And that is in a special way. And when he does set before them the blessed tokens in a physical and an outward way, as an help to that faith that is so very, very difficult so often for them. Oh, to believe, what do they say? If only I might believe. Oh, that unbelief, that wretched unbelief. They wish that they could banish it out of their heart, and he gives to them a blessed means that it may be banished out of their heart. That in a physical way, he does give signs, sets before them, "This is my body, this is my blood, and this is all that I have given for you. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes." And thus he calls in this moment those whom he says has dove's eyes. And we all have eyes. We all have a certain understanding because we are human beings. And we have an understanding more than all the world because we are brought up in the church, in the visible church, and we are taught from when we are very young. And now the question comes to us, and whether that understanding that the Lord is renewing to give a new understanding, or that we have ever received other eyes. Eyes to see that he has ever made our heart like the heart of a dove. That he has ever poured out his love in our heart. And that it has gone out after him. Or that can be when we are still very young, boys and girls. And that does not mean you can come to this table when you are very young. We hope the day will come when you are older, that you may also come to that table of the Lord. But that love that the Lord is planting in the heart of a person, oh, that is changing his understanding. Your understanding ever change. What was the good and what was the evil? What was worthwhile? What was profitable and what is unprofitable? Oh, the love that he puts in the heart for God above all. Oh, did that ever burn in your heart? And did he ever give you to mourn as a dove after him, the feeling of separation from him, that you could not live without him anymore? Oh, how paradise that has become such a grief to you and your own sin, and then you are mourning after him. Oh, did the Lord ever give you then to mourn as a dove? And yet, we have heard also that the love of a dove is singular. Oh, there is only one love. And that is for him alone that can deliver me from all my iniquity. And that is now the point today. That is not about merely, I should not say merely, the love of God alone, but it is about the love for his dear son. And whether you have been given to see in all your wretchedness and your separation from him, whether you ever given to see that suitable Savior also for you, not only our catechism says for others, but also for me. Or was that ever now revealed in your heart that he was the only name given among men under heaven whereby I also can be saved, and that the love of your heart that has gone out after him, that you have said, Lord, let me hear his name and his name only. Oh, then he invites you. He invites you in this hour. He invites you in this moment. This table is now open for all those who must testify that they are the chiefest of the sinners, but that they have found in him a grace that is as wide as the ocean. Come then as he does command you to show forth his death till he come. Congregation, we read, thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Within thy locks. Thus, it is a hidden thing. It is a hidden thing. And then it is not before men, but it must be before the Lord. Thus it is a love, dove's eyes, an understanding that is given, that is secret. Are there yet those for whom it has been secret from men, even to this very moment in your life, and that you have to say that it is not actually secret before God, and that the Lord knows, that he knows all things, and that the Lord knoweth that I love him too. And if that is now so, then you are also invited in this moment. Oh, that man may fall away, and all that is outward may fall away, and that which is true between your soul and the Lord may be testified in these moments. Is there yet any more who desire to show forth the death of the Lord till he come? Then this table is now closed. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Jesus Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep and that are even shorn. Oh, he delights in our eating. He delights in our feeding. Is that not such a wonderful thing? And so often we think, as it were, that it would be something which would deplete him, and it does not deplete him, because there is in him so much that it can never be depleted, because it is sufficient for the sin of the whole world, and it will take away the sin of every single one of his church by his death. He has made himself food. He has made himself meat. He has made himself drink. And he has done that with great purpose. And if he has done that with purpose, then there is nothing that he more delights in than when that meat and drink may be partaken of by a true faith, and when we may receive the benefit that he has intended by that meat and drink. And then he says more. He says, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. So the lips and the speech, they are also subject to renewal. To renewal. Our lips and our speech, what was that directed toward by nature? How many things, how are we not ashamed of that we have used our lips? The things that have come out of our mouth. But in that regeneration that is so powerful, the Spirit of the Lord is doing something with our lips. With our lips. And Christ is beginning in that moment already to take a delight. To take a delight. He notices the lips. The lips. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. That's the lips are the organ. And the speech, he says, thy speech is comely. Thus the speech flows out of the lips. And he renews the organ. He makes the lips right. And then what flows out of those lips, that becomes right. And that he changes, because by nature our lips, our speech is so vain, it is so carnal. But now it becomes for two things, and that is to pray, and it is to praise. When did that begin? that began in the new birth. Then you began already to praise. Then the love of the Lord, and with little knowledge, little understanding, but the love of the Lord that gave you to sing with new lips and with a love in your heart. And it gave you to pray with new desires in your heart, the young life. But now what does he say? He says, thy lips are like a thread of scarlet. And that is so beautiful. Because the scarlet, that scarlet wool that was used with hyssop for the sprinkling of the blood of the sacrifices. Thus it has to do with the application of the blood of Christ. And now, the Spirit of the Lord dyes the lips of his people, and he dyes them red. He says that they are now, he sees them, Christ sees them, they are made red by the Spirit of the Lord in the application, and Christ sees that, the work of his own Spirit. And what is that? When the lips are made red, that is now the foundation of all that comes out of the mouth. All that flows out of the mouth, of the praying and of the praising. So what does that mean? We think about the coals, the altar of incense in that tabernacle. And when that incense was placed on the coals had to come off of the brazen altar. It had to come off of that altar. Thus, the brazen coals, that sacrifice, that had to be the bottom, that had to be the basis of all the supplications that went up unto God. That is the bottom. And now Christ, he sees those lips made red, like a thread of scarlet. And thus, the foundation of every cry that is coming up out of this sacrifice, that is the only foundation. It is the only way that we can receive the smallest blessing from the Lord. And Christ, he says, thy speech is comely. Oh, when it is all based on that sacrifice, nothing on ourselves, when it's all based there, truly, oh, he says, that is comely. When you have no other place to go. When you cannot hold it together anymore. And when sin that rises up its ugly head over and over again. Oh, he says, then those scarlet lips, they are to him so comely. He delights to present such a cry to his Father. What is that for him? Because he presents the cries, the supplications of his church to his Father. And when they are now based upon that broken body and that poured out blood, what a delight to him. What a delight to him. Oh, when you come a sorry sinner coming with a confession of everything that is wrong in you, and then asking for that forgiveness that can only come from that blood. Oh, he delights in it. And he delights in the power, the efficacy that it has to give unto us what we cannot give to ourselves. He delights in the pleasure that it is to his Father when his Father may hear a supplication that is based upon the sacrifice of his Son. And he delights when it is a free flowing speech. Thy speech is comely. Do you know what that means? He never gets tired of hearing it. He never gets tired of hearing it. And we think if we go today with that same confession and that same request that we had yesterday, then the Lord will be tired of us. And yet he says, thy speech is comely. And thus he says, every day, every day again until this life is done. And this body of sin is laid down in the grave. Then Christ is delighting in those lips. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet, and thy speech is comely. Let us now sing from Psalter number 28. 28 stanzas 1, 3, and 5. And afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. When in the night I meditate on mercies multiplied, my grateful heart inspires my tongue to bless the Lord, my guide. 1, 3, and 5 of Psalter number 28. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who had not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth, forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us, Thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 320. stanzas 1-5. Ye gates of peace and joy untold, ye gates of righteousness unfold, that I may enter in and raise a song of thankfulness and praise. 1-5 of 320. blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.